Number 18. That's the blessed hope of the church, that we've got a welcome home to look forward to. The world doesn't seem to be getting much better, does it? We could talk a long time about that. Last thought that went through my mind last night as I laid my head down on the pillow was that there was no hope for our country. It's the last thing I thought of. You know, when it's dark, especially at bedtime, all the bad negative things will come to your mind, try to disrupt your sleep and your thoughts and everything. And so that's the last thing I thought of last night that I remember. And then I got up this morning, the first thing I thought of was there's no hope for our country apart from prayer. That's the only hope for our nation, for our country, the world, our communities, schools, churches, families, is in prayer, God's people praying. And we've been dealing with that on the radio for quite some time, and really it's been working on my heart, and I'm thankful for it. Luke chapter number 18, we're going to read verses 9 through 14, and I'm going to try to preach on prayer again today. I preached on prayer last Sunday and went over to Avery County. I didn't go to Ashe County last week. I went to Avery County last Sunday night. I preached on prayer over there. Enjoyed it. Luke chapter 18, verse number 9, the Bible said, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come this morning, and I want to thank you for letting us be here. I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good songs we've already heard. Lord, the good thoughts about heaven, about a home beyond this world. Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that it's a promise in the Word of God, and Lord, we believe it with all of our hearts, and we're thankful for that. Lord, as we come today, I pray that you would speak to our hearts concerning the subject of prayer. Lord, we need prayer people, prayer warriors in this day and time. There's a lot of talk about what to do, but God, it's plain from your word what we as your people need to be doing. And first and foremost, we need to pray. We need to stand for what's right. Lord, help us in this day and time to do that with grace and that which would bring honor and glory unto thee. And Lord, I just pray for help now. I pray for liberty. I pray that nothing would hinder in the service. And I pray that you'd speak and we would hear not only with our ears, but God, that we would hear with our hearts. And Lord, you'd make us a praying people, Lord, that you could use for your honor and your glory. And Lord, we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read verse number 10 one more time, what the Bible says, Luke chapter 18 and verse number 10. The Bible said, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." There are two parables in the book of Luke that are only found in the book of Luke. And we find them here, both of them here in chapter number 18. Verses 1 through 8 contains the parable of the unjust judge. By way of example, chapter 18, verse 1, it said, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And so we had and it goes on down, and it's the parable of the unjust judge in verses 1 through 8. So we see that, first of all, he was teaching them that men ought always to pray, not to faint, not to stop praying. But then in verses 9 through 14, what we're going to look at today, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And it talks about here that this is a parable. Verse 9, he spake this parable unto certain. And verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. And so here's two men that go to pray, but what we're going to see is one of them prays and one of them doesn't pray. And so there's a difference between just talking, speaking words, and looking a certain way, and really praying and God hearing our prayers. And so the difference is in the verses 9 through verse number 14, what we're going to look at today. Two men went up, the Bible said, into the temple to pray. I want to try to preach on this subject this morning. Who prays? With a question mark at the end. Who really prays? If all we had about these two men was a picture, I'm talking about a picture like you would see in a book, no words to describe these men whatsoever. If all we had was a picture of these two men and we asked which of these men prays, we would probably look at the Pharisee and say, well, he's the one that prays. We'd look at the Pharisee and we would see by a picture of him that the Pharisee was a man that looked different than the others did. And he would have a religious garb about him. But what we find as we read in the verses is that he really didn't pray, and the other man did pray. Wednesday night, we went over to Vilas Valley, and Brother Greg Tibbett, he preached on Wednesday night, taught the lesson, and just really blessed my heart. I hated we didn't get to have church here, but I enjoyed going over there, and I really enjoyed the message. He preached on prayer. And he preached out of Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says over there, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And he preached about how that prayer was a secret thing. He compared to the previous verses in Matthew chapter number 6 where the Pharisees, they went out on the street corners and they were dressed in their religious robes, and how that they prayed long, audible, flowery prayers. And Jesus said, "But ye, when you pray, be not as..." The Lord said, don't be like that. Don't be like those men that just go out in public and pray long prayers in order to be heard. But he said, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret." And he preached about how that prayer was a secret thing. It was an individual thing. It was a personal thing. If we stood at the door of any church in America this morning and just greeted people as they came through the door, do you think you would be able to tell who prayed and who didn't pray? You couldn't tell just by looking at people as they came through the door. You couldn't tell. You might look and say, "Well, I think this person would." We might look at some and say, "Well, I don't know about that person." But what I'm getting at this morning, you couldn't tell. If you met somebody in Walmart, if you met somebody at the mall or the grocery store, and we just looked on the outside of individuals, you can't tell who prays and who does not pray. Somebody may look like they would pray and actually not pray. There might be somebody else that wouldn't look like they prayed, but they really pray. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 16 and 7, and the Lord is talking about Saul and over there, but it says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." It might surprise us who prays. It might surprise us who does not pray. Brother Greg said that he wouldn't want his prayer schedule. He wouldn't want anybody to ask him, you know, how many of us now, how long do you pray a day? See, it's a private thing. It's a personal thing. Who prays and who does not pray cannot be told by how they look on the outside or even how they talk or how they dress, but prayer is a personal thing. Who prays? And we're preaching this message this morning that we might ask ourselves the question, do I really pray? Or do I just act like I pray? We're going to see three men in Luke chapter number 18, and I'll be done this morning. There's three men in Luke chapter number 18. Number one, there is a haughty man, haughty. That word haughty, it means this, it means proud, having a high opinion of oneself, manifesting pride and disdain for others. Now, if you have disdain for others, it means that you would look at somebody and look down upon them. You'd look at somebody and look at yourself as being better than they are. You'd look at somebody and put them on a lower level than you are. Disdain for somebody else. There's a haughty man in verse number 9. The Bible said this, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That is a definition of what haughty is. Pride and disdain are despising somebody else. In fact, you know, we might say sometimes, well, you could put that Pharisee's picture beside verse number 9. That's who the Lord was talking about. And he goes on down and he talks about the two men, and he begins with the Pharisee. We'll notice some things about the Pharisee. First of all, he's a haughty or a prideful individual. The Bible said in verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, it's always been interesting to me that the Bible says that he prayed with himself. It does not say that he prayed to God. It says that he prayed thus with himself. And the Bible said that as he prayed thus with himself, here's what he prayed. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now there's some things that we learn about the Pharisee here. We learn about the Pharisee, and we know from studying our Bibles that the Pharisee was a very religious person. The Bible said in verse number 10 that he went up into the temple to pray. He went up into the temple, the Bible said, to pray. That's a religious place, the temple. And he went to do a religious exercise, that's pray. He went to pray, the Bible says. He is a religious person. He is a religious person all the time. The Pharisees lived lives that were very different than the other people around them. As I've already said, they dressed differently. They talked differently. They looked differently. They wore what's called phylacteries, and what it was, little boxes, and they had scriptures printed upon paper, and they would put that scripture in those little boxes, and they wore them on their hands. Everything about them, that if you seen him walking down the street, you would know that's a Pharisee. He's a very religious person. You would maybe see a Pharisee standing out in the street praying aloud in front of everybody else. He's a very religious person. And so the Pharisee is very religious, and everyone knew they were religious and they recognized them. But I will say this morning, it's very easy to look the part. It's very easy to play a religious part. It's very, very easy to be religious and actually have no heart for God whatsoever. That's how this Pharisee was. Religion and salvation are not the same things. And a lot of people in the world have that. They don't recognize that there's a difference there. But if you ever get saved by the grace of God, you'll realize that religion and salvation are not the same thing. You can be very, very religious and die and go to hell. The Pharisee was a very religious individual, but as we see here, being religious is not the same as being saved. This Pharisee, some other things we can notice about him is that he was a very self-righteous individual. The Bible said in verse number 9 that the Lord Jesus, he spake this parable unto certain. Now, I'll tell you who he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees. He spake this parable unto certain which, look what the Bible says, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He is a very self-righteous individual. His faith was not in the Lord. It was not in God. It was not in the sacrifice. But his faith was in himself. The Bible said that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. There's some things we read in his prayer that lets us sort of look into his soul and see what is going through his mind. His faith was in what he was. If you notice here in verse number 11 what he said, the Bible said the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. He looked upon himself and he said, I'm glad I'm not like these other people. See, that's self-righteous. He looked and he thanked. The only thing that he thanked God for is that he was better in his own eyes than other men were. That's what he said. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And you know, it's real easy for us to look good in our own eyes when we go to comparing ourselves with other men. Now, he does not pick out other men that are like him, that are righteous, but he picks out the worst of the worst. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And he goes down through the list there of what he's not compared to others. He said, I think that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners. What are extortioners anyway? I was trying to look at what he compared himself. An extortioner would be somebody that maybe we think about. You ever seen one of those movies about the mafia? And they go around and they extract money from businesses for what they call their protection in their territory. That's extortion. That's getting money out of people that they don't owe you. It's illegal to do that. He said, God, I'm thankful I'm not like extortioners. God, I'm thankful I'm not like other men are. Other men are unjust. Other men do not do right and live right. They're not like me. Or adulterers. Man, he's picking out a group there, isn't he? Then he says in verse number 11, how would you... And think about this. How'd you like to be the old publican? He said, I'm thankful I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I bet he heard him say that. Amen. Now, publican, that's pretty low on the totem pole too. That they were tax collectors. And the population as a whole despised the publicans. They looked down upon the publicans because they were taking money from their own people on behalf of the Romans, and they just looked at them as the filth and the offscouring of the earth. And he said, I'm thankful I'm not like all these other people. You ever hear any talk like that in our day and time? It's easy to look down on others and the sins of others and to look at their sin as being great big sin, and then we don't think very much about our own sin. Well, that's how this Pharisee was. He's religious and he's self-righteous and he has faith in what he is. And he has faith in what he does. He said in verse number 12, look at what he does. I fast twice in the week. He lets the Lord know about his little religious routine that he's got. And a lot of people have a religious routine. I mean, they are religious. And they do certain things, and they do those things religiously. And that Pharisee, he's letting the Lord know, here's what I do. I fast twice every week. I fast every day from the time I go to bed till I get up and have breakfast. Breakfast every day. I've seen somebody said that they love sleep. It was like a time machine to breakfast. I feel like that. I like to, you know, it's commendable to fast. He was saying, I go without food two times every week, Lord. I'm really something. Look at what I do. Somebody else can say, look at me, I go to church. Look at me, I serve over here, I do this, I do that. He's letting the Lord know what he does. Look at me, Lord. Look what I do. I'm up here in the temple praying. I'm not like other men are. I fast twice in the week. He has faith in who he is and what he does, and he has faith in what he gives. Look what he said in verse 12. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, I want you to know I also give my part. I also give money to the church. Now, he didn't give money to the church. He gave money to the temple. He tithed of everything that he did. He tithed from his money. He tithed from his field. He tithed from trading. Whatever he possessed, he said, I want you to know I tithe on everything that I have. A lot of people think that giving money will somehow get them a place in heaven. But I'm telling you this morning, if being good got you to heaven, if being religious was a sure ticket to heaven, if giving some money was a way to go to heaven, then that would all be fine and good. But the Bible said in Titus 3 and 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. It is not being religious that gets us to heaven. It's being saved by the grace of God that gets a person to heaven. Being religious, it's not. The Bible nowhere tells us to be religious. He has no sense of personal need before God. I notice that the Bible says in verse number 9 that they trusted in themselves. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, we're living in the last days. I believe that with all of my heart. And we've been in the last days since the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven. We've been in the last days for 2,000 some years now. But since we're on this end, and they were on the beginning of it, we're in the last of the last days. The Bible talks about it in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 about seven churches. And that last church, that Laodicean church, that's the church of the last days. And that church of the last days had an attitude that they didn't need the Lord, that they were rich, that they were increased with goods, that they had need of nothing. Is that not exactly how we are in America? Christianity, I'm talking about a big brush here. A lot of people have no sense of a personal need or a personal relationship with God. They would look at their lives, they would look at the churches, they would look at our possessions and our wealth, and they'd say, boy, we must be doing something right. Look at all that we've got. But the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 3 that the Lord was on the outside And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He was on the outside of the church, not on the inside. They were so blind as to how they were spiritually that they didn't even see the Lord wasn't in their midst. This Pharisee, he had no sense of his personal need for God. He was like the generation in Proverbs chapter 30 that it talks about, that they are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their own filthiness. Religious but lost. I'm telling you, there's an epidemic of that in our country. There's a lot of people think they're Christian because they live in America. There's a lot of people think that they're Christian because their grandparents were. There's a lot of people think that they're Christian because they go to church on Easter or they go to church on Sunday, or that they're Christian because they're not an atheist, or that they're Christian because they were baptized or sprinkled once upon a time. But being religious is not the same as being saved. And this man, he had no sense of needing God. He trusted in his own self that he was righteous. He didn't need the Lord. He's doing pretty good on his own. He had no love for others. This is a sure indication that he didn't know about the love of God. The Bible said in verse number 9, not only that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, but the Bible said, and despised others. Despised others. He had no love whatsoever for others. Now, if you know anything about the love of God, you ought to have love for others. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That's a commandment. Oh, people know about the commandments, and the commandments are good. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. But the Lord Jesus said, I got a new commandment, that ye love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one for another. But this man here, he had no love for anybody else except himself. In fact, he and his group, they despised others. That's disdain. They looked upon them. They had that holier-than-thou attitude. This man represents everything that makes people hate Christians and Christianity. But he was no Christian, and he had no Christianity. But he had religion. And people look at religion, and people look at religious people, and how that they look down their nose at other people. That's what this Pharisee, he represents. We see a haughty man, first of all. Does he pray? Not according to the Bible. He just prayed with himself. He just said words into the air. His whole life was a big lie. We have a haughty man. Second of all, this morning we have a humble man. We have a man that you wouldn't pick him out as being a man of prayer or a man of faith. But we have a humble man beginning, or we see in verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. Did they go together? Were they friends? Or did they just walk up the road together? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible says two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The publican here, he believes in prayer. He went up with the Pharisee. He went to the same place. He went for the same purpose, the Bible says. But he is not like the Pharisee. We wouldn't pick him out to be a man of prayer. We might be just like the people of his day and say, he's a tax collector. There can't be anything good about him. He don't know the Lord. He's not like the Pharisee. We notice some things about him. He's a humble man. He does have a sense of the holiness of God. Let me say this morning, you'll never get saved until you see that God's a holy God. And you're unholy and unrighteous altogether and condemned before God. The Bible said in verse number 13, and the publican standing afar off. The publican standing afar off. He recognizes that something is wrong. You'll never get saved by the grace of God till you recognize that something's wrong. And that thing that is wrong is that sin that's within all of us. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this man, he recognized there was something wrong. And he does not feel that he can just walk right up there like the Pharisee. But he got up to the temple, but he dare not get any closer than he did. And the Bible said that the Pharisee standing afar off, he had a sense of the holiness of God and that he was a sinner. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says about in verse number 13 that this publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. The Pharisee, that's all he did was lift himself up. God, I thank thee. God, I fast twice. God, I give tithes of all that I have. But this publican, he wouldn't even lift his eyes up. That's what the Bible said. You know, the most deceived person in the whole wide world is the one that thinks I'm a pretty good fella. As long as you think you're a pretty good fella, you'll never get saved. That's a pretty harsh thing to say, isn't it? As long as a person thinks that they're a pretty good fella or a pretty good lady, they'll never get saved. Because in order to get saved, you've got to see yourself as God sees you, and that's lost. That is as a sinner, for the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This publican, he recognized that. He recognizes God is holy. He recognizes that he is not worthy. He will not even so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. But look what the Bible says in verse number 13. But smote upon his breast. Now, he wasn't just making a show. He's really affected in his heart. He won't come any closer. People say, come to the altar, come to the Lord Jesus, and you got to come. But he didn't even feel worthy to come. Can you get saved and not go right up to the altar? He did. I don't think he got any closer than he did, but he smote upon his breast, which to the Jewish people was a sign of remorse. It was a sign of regret. It was saying to themselves and to everybody else, I'm sorry, I've sinned, I've got a problem. And he smote upon his breast. And he wouldn't even lift up his eyes unto heaven, the Bible said. And then he began to pray. Smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. There we find the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, you got to recognize in your mind where he is and what's going on. He's in the temple. The temple is where people bring their sacrifices. The people is where they bring goats and lambs and rams and turtle doves and all kinds of other things they bring. And all they do all the time, they're to keep a sacrifice burning upon the altar. And maybe as that man is standing there, no closer than he dares to get, he can see the flames, he can see the smoke. He can smell the smell upon the altar. And when he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, what he's saying is, he's saying that ought to be me up there. That racket, that symbolizes that there must be a price for sin. Amen. He recognizes that. The Jewish people are taught that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And he's in the temple and he can see what's going on. That ought to be me. That temple sacrifice, that religion that they had to bring the sacrifices, all of that was pointing to the fact that we have to have a substitute. And God, be merciful to me is a cry. I need a substitute. It ought to be me. God, be merciful. God, I need a substitute. God, I need atonement made for my sins. There needs to be a price for my sins. Look what he said in the Bible. God, be merciful to me. A pretty good fella. Not what he said, was it? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. We have a humble man. And then number three this morning, and last of all, there's another man. There's an honest man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 14. Look what he said. I tell you. See, he told the parable. He told the parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And then he told about the Pharisee and he told about the publican. And then in verse number 14, the Lord Jesus, honestly, he says, I tell you, this man, talking about the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. I tell you who prays, the man that comes humbly before the Lord, the woman that comes with humility before the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it is impossible to come to God without humility. Even the very fact that we kneel down to pray, that's a sign of humility. That's a sign, not that I can come and do anything on my own self, but God, I need your help. And this man, the Bible doesn't say that he knelt, but he wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven. The Lord Jesus said this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'll tell you something, it's impossible for you and I to do. It's impossible for you to lift yourself up. You just can't do it. I know somebody might be smart, and well, if you got a rope, but you can't lift yourself up. People try to lift themselves up, but you can't lift yourself up. And the Lord Jesus is teaching here, he's teaching us that the way up with God is down. But if we come up, we'll be put down. That Pharisee didn't have his prayers heard or answered. The publican did. Who prays? Those who come with humility. Those whose prayers are based upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what was going on in the temple. Those who come with the right heart attitude. That's who prays. Those who come before the Lord and they begin on the inside and not on the outside. See, that Pharisee, he came to pray, but he began on the outside. Woo, look at me, I'm a pretty good fella. Look at all I do, look at all that I am. But that publican came, he began on the inside. Lord, before I say anything about anybody else, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Those who come with the right heart attitude. Those who come with the right attitude towards the sin that they have. Those that begin on the inside, not on the outside. Who prays? Well, according to the Bible, it might not be who you think it is. We could ask ourselves a question this morning. Do I really pray when I pray? I mean, I believe that man got saved. I believe this is a good message for somebody that's lost. But it's also a good message to remind us what prayer really is made up of and who God really hears when we pray. If you're going to pray, I mean, I want the Lord to hear my prayers, don't you? We got to come in the right way. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You might be here today.